brought it out here and actually played with it and actually played with it.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds!
King of Clouds!
The Colossus of Clouds! The Colossus of Clouds!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Erica Strowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. If you have something you think might be valuable, give us a call at 312-332-3776. We'll try to give you an idea if it might be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction, what it might go for if it does. And we always have a prize to give away each week. This week, last week's winner, Vince, I guess, didn't contact you.
Email. Nope.
Okay, so we didn't have a winner, but I'm going to change. I'm going to have two boxes this week, but change up the prize a little bit. You have to contact Vince, the winner, by Thursday. But we have two boxes to give away this week. A 2016 Panini Classics football box has a lot of nice autograph cards in it. And a 2016 Top Series 2 baseball box. So football and baseball this week to give away. Top Series 2 just came out this week. And the number's 312-332-3776. If people bring in items to Triple Crown in Naperville during the week, or if you tweet me a picture of an item and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. And guys, I had some neat things that people came in with this week or that called about that listeners. So we've got a lot of those things that I'm going to – Bill, is Americana Steve with you today?
Yes, he is. We're actually – sitting at my booth at the Raleigh show in North Carolina. Steve's with me.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll start off then with something that Americana Steve is going to be interested in. Yesterday afternoon, and I tweeted a picture of this collection, John from Naperville stopped by, and John has a great collection of vintage cards. So he brings in this box. I'm thinking, oh, what's he going to show me here? He had the, from 1977... There, I think he said there were 12 1977 Star Wars figures, and he had all 12 of them in their original boxes.
Wow.
Now, I looked up just Han Solo on eBay. Just that one had sold for like $1,500. So,
very nice.
You know, he was kind of acting like, yeah, well, people got to be willing to buy something. I go, I'm pretty sure that you would have buyers on this. Americana Steve, have you ever run those 1977 Star Wars figures, or do you know if there were 12, or have you ever run 12 together as a set?
Well, the first thing you want to look for, Tom, yeah, well, I've handled them personally, but we haven't had those exact pieces like that in the auction, but I have handled them before and I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
What you want to look for is on the back of them, the first series, they only made 12 pieces. And on the back, on the first series that they issued, there's a photo of the 12 characters.
Oh, okay.
Later editions might have 48 pieces on the back or 65 on the back. They're not worth as much as the original, what they call a 12 back. If these are original 12 backs, to get $1,200 for a Han Solo or $1,500, it would have to be a high-graded piece, meaning that, you know, it achieved a 9-point-something on the scale, and it was, you know, and it was graded professionally. Loose, like not graded, but still in the original package, like we're seeing in your photo, they're anywhere from $200 to $1,000 a piece, and we would love to run those, and I think they would get gobbled up.
Yeah, I think he still had, I think, the service merchandise price stickers on them for $1.57 each.
Service merchandise?
Service
oh, wow.
merchandise. Isn't
the
that
blast
so?
From the past.
Yeah, yeah. And now that ties in once again with what I was talking about last week, when it doesn't matter what you paid for an item. Sometimes you paid $1,000 for an item, and the current market price is $200 or $300. Well, if you're selling it, it's the opposite. It's what the market is.
Yep.
This the market. You originally bought them for $1.57. The market's a little up on that. It's like the old 5 cent wax packs. You know, they're a lot higher now also. So that's Native Americana, Steve. We'll tell John if I think his brother owned them with him. And he might be selling them, but he also said he has a whole bunch more. I think John has a lot of stuff. So sooner or later, John doesn't like computers. He doesn't. He goes, technology passed me up about 15 years ago. So I think if we work with John, he'll be sending some things to Huggins and Scott for auction.
There you go. He's close by, right? He's close by, too.
Yeah, he stops in fairly often. Really good guy. And looks like Al Pacino, actually. Oh. I call him Al Pacino whenever he comes in, and he always chuckles every time. Oh, Al Pacino's in it. What do you have this time, Al? Now, another guy came in. Bill, you're going to love this one. Now, I think he lives in the Bloomington Normal area, and he has all kinds of vintage cards. And he also, among those vintage cards, two 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle cards that he estimates they're probably in the one in is maybe a six and one is maybe a seven. I guess he had talked to PSA. He doesn't really get into grading. But he knows that he can get more money if he grades these. But I guess he talked to PSA and they told him $800 a card to grade him. He's like, ah, that's ridiculous, and decided not to do it. But Bill, would you like to tell him something about grading 1952 Topps Mantle cards and what the value might be if you do get, say, a seven?
If he's worried about putting out the $700 or $800 to get the cards graded, we can do that for him. But either way, to spend $700 or $800 to get a 52 Mantle graded of 1 of 6 and 1 of 7, that's the best money you'll ever spend in your entire life.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell him that, and he was seeming to kind of get it. He said he was like, I know this is dumb. I go, it's not really dumb. I mean, I kind of understand what you're talking about, and he said his kids aren't really into his cards. So I'm like, you just have to understand that if you are going to sell them, if you have really nice vintage cards, if you get them graded, it just helps you get more money. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. People know that they're real. They know they haven't been tampered with, and they know what condition they are. And they like to bid on the higher the grade, the better. Plus, you've got the PSA registry that's so big. So it'll be interesting to see if we hear from him again. It sounded like he really enjoyed that. He was in there for quite a while.
So what's the value of a Mickey Mantle 52 in a seven?
What do you think, Bill, in a seven?
Sevens are probably getting $250,000.
Wow. Oh,
well, John, if you need somebody to adopt, if your kids don't like the cars, I'm up for adoption.
Vince. If Vince could be adopted for free if he just gets in on the 1952 Topps Mantle. Boy, those have really gone off, man, alive.
They really have.
Ooh,
yeah.
Baby, that's just
Now's the time to sell them, because nothing in our industry, as you well know, lasts forever. Everything goes
right
in cycles.
Yeah. Well, maybe what he should do is at least get one of them done. But I don't know.
Yep,
well, you know, it's,
it,
and that's what I always tell people. If you're not sure, sell your doubles. You know, keep one, keep the best one if you want. Sell your doubles. You can get that much money for it. I don't know, but I don't have enough money where. Yeah, I couldn't do. That's what I was telling him at the time. I go, he said, I don't really need the money. I go, I know, but see, I don't have the money where if I had something like that, I'd have to sell it. So I kind of get where you're coming from, but I don't know. Even if you don't need the money, I don't know. It seems like you should, if you're going to sell it, you should get the utmost out of it. I don't know. It just kind of.
It's all perspective. You know, everybody sees it a little differently based on what they need.
On how much they have of their own. But on these things, then there was another guy that came in and Bill, I sent you an email on this one, and he said when he came in, he wasn't sure if he wanted to sell them, but he's thinking about it. and he had a long box of cards. And I see one for sure, you know, over towards the right of the box. I go, oh, you have a lot of stuff from the 30s. And he goes, yeah, everything. He goes, check this side of the box. He had like six Babe Ruth cards, a few Lou Gehrig cards. He had a Bronco Nagurski rookie that I didn't have a chance to look it over, but the Nagurski looked pretty nice. I mean, you don't see those. And his stuff was probably like some of them had writing on them, so they were probably... Most of them were in the range of authentic to a 2 grade. But still, I mean, you get a 2 on a 33 Babe Ruth card, that's still, probably a couple grand maybe, huh? I mean, he had a really good collection. Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if somewhere down the road he does decide that he's going to sell at least some of those, Bill. But I think... He was one of those guys that when it comes down to actually getting rid of them, when you've had them your whole life and actually make the decision to sell, sometimes it's just like they get cold feet.
They're like your children. You just, you just don't give them up. You know?
Yeah, right. So
they can't cut the cord.
Right. Okay. So that's once again, then maybe sell, you've got six Babe Ruths. Maybe sell one of them, see how it does, see how you feel with that one gone. You still have five. Isn't that something? So maybe sell a lower end one, whatever. Well, anyway, the number here is 312-332-3776. If you have any of these type items, give us a call. If you found something in the attic you think it might be valuable, give us a call. We'll tell you it might go for something in an auction. And we do have a really good prize package to give away. A Panini 2016 Classics football box and a 2016 Top Series 2 baseball box. A great prize package. Give us a call. And then, of course, you can tweet pictures of items, which people do regularly. Now, the Huggins and Scott August auction, bidding begins, I believe, the 1st of August. And, Bill, people still have time to get items in for the August Huggins and Scott auction?
Oh, yeah. We're probably taking stuff at least for the main catalog until the 5th of July.
Oh, really? Okay. So if
and then after that, you've still got extra innings and web gems. So we can actually get items in the auction up until 4 or 5 days before the auction begins.
And the key to that, as long as things don't have to be graded or authenticated. If they're already pre-graded, yeah, boom, you can get things in quickly. Like right. Here, I just noticed this in the August auction. I have never seen one of these. This has a 10,000 minimum bid, so this is obviously, there's not a lot of this type item around. Eddie Plank, 1910 Philadelphia Athletics World Champions pendant. And this came, I guess, from the Plank estate, huh, Bill? What, have you ever had anything from them before? Or?
I don't think we have. I believe, though, that the person who has been giving us this or gave us this thing also has another item from the Eddie Plank estate that we may be getting. I think it's like a pocket watch that was given as well. That this might have maybe coming at a later date as well.
I think they used to give pocket watches as awards at the time once in a while. Yeah,
kind of before they did rings. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those would both be huge. This will be interesting to see how the bidding goes on the Eddie Plank 1910 Philadelphia Athletics World Champions pendant. That is neat. Another thing that I saw that you have in the Huggins and Scott August auction, I don't know, I was just looking through some things and I saw a signed 1933, I think it was, Gaudi card. And then it looks like you have a bunch of the 1933 Gaudi signed cards in individual auctions, like Jimmy Fox, Eddie Collins, Babe Ruth. One guy put those all in, I take it.
This is probably the largest collection of these ever unearthed. It's 157 different of the 33 galleys. I don't know that anybody has that many. And from what Jimmy Spence said when he authenticated them, he says there are 5 or 6 of these that nobody has ever seen.
Wow, really?
These guys died in the mid to late 30s, so they only had a couple years to sign these things, if, who was getting these cards signed back then? Very few people. So
now, is each one of these signed cards an individual auction lot?
Yes, it is. Okay. 157 different lots.
Wow. So wow. If you want to go to HugginsandScott.com, if you just look, if you find them, I think they come up together. So if there's somebody that you think from, you maybe you knew a relative from that area or whatever, you want to see there's a Gowdy card that's signed that you want to try to pick up. I mean, it really, I'm going through it. I was like, whoa, where did these come from? I mean, it was really impressive. That's going to be neat. That'll be fun to see what each individual one does in value. This is going to be quite the auction. You guys will have things on display at the National Sport Collectors Convention in August in Atlantic City also, correct, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, Guy Kate brought us yesterday the only known Addie Jott autograph ever.
Ooh.
Wow. This thing is supposedly going to get between $100,000 and $250,000.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding. So that's going to be in there
also. It's the only one that everybody agrees is real. It was out of the Larry Lajoie estate, Napoleon Lajoie. It was unearthed about 20 years ago, and the guy who had it, who was our consigner, he is the one who provided the photo of this item for the book that this guy wrote that does all the autographs, that shows, you know, known exemplars for every autograph in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And this is the only one that everybody agrees is real.
Well, what are you starting the bidding on that? Have you decided yet?
Oh, we haven't come up with a number yet, but it's not going to be cheap.
That's going to be this is going to be a fun auction to watch. Go to HugginsandScott.com. It's already time for a short break. The number is 312-332-3776. We're taking your calls with questions about the value of your collectibles, and we have a Panini Classics football box and a Top Series 2 baseball box to give away. So give us a call and hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776 if you have an item you think might be valuable. We'll try to give you an idea if it's worth putting in an auction, if it has any value to it. Sometimes you think you got something big and it isn't. Other times you're like, this isn't any. Well, I'll give them a call and, that's 10 grand, you know. So you never know. If you're not sure, give us a call. And it's no question is too dumb. I've asked plenty of dumb questions in my life. I've done dumb things in fantasy golf, too, haven't I, Vince?
Yeah, just recently, I think. What happened with that?
Okay, I'm watching. I wasn't even really watching. I had the U.S. Open golf on a T-Crown on Friday afternoon, and they moved our fantasy golf deadline back because there were rain delays on Thursday. So they wanted to be able to give most guys a chance to at least finish the first round. And Sergio happened to be on. I was just walking by the TV, and I see him being interviewed, and I had picked Sergio, and he was two under, and he's coughing and wheezing and hacking, and like, what's wrong with Sergio? So the announcer says to him, well, Sergio, you have to be happy to go right back on the course after such a good first round. He's like, I don't know. He goes, I've got a pretty bad cold. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make it through 36. So they had been talking up Henrik Stenson the whole time on how good he was playing. So I'm thinking, whoa, Sergio, he might not even finish. I got like 2 minutes to the deadline. I switched to Henrik Stenson. Right after I switched, I think he was on the 18th green and he bogeyed, which was a bad sign. 10 over par, I think he did the second round, and he didn't make the cut.
I don't even think it wasn't that he made the cut. I think he withdrew, actually.
Well,
he
just, I don't
but
know.
Either way, embarrassment, the worst probably. Feeling in the world. I had Phil earlier this year, and he didn't make the cut. I mean, it affects your life. It really does.
For at least a few minutes. Yep. Yeah, I thought it makes a good story for the radio show, though, so what the heck. Now, we also have Americana Steve on with us today, so if you have any questions about things like comic books, political memorabilia, like we were talking earlier in the show, the Star Wars toys. If you have anything like that, you can call in on that also. And we have Bill from Schaumburg on the line. Thanks for calling, Bill. What do you have?
Hi, Tom. I've got a picture of the core four Yankees. I've got Derek Jeter, Rivera, Posada, and Andy Pettit. And it's got their baseball underneath the picture standing at Yankee Stadium. And it's got the baseballs that are signed.
So it's one baseball signed by the four of them?
No, it's a picture. It's 25 by 25 and a portrait. I've got it hanging up that I bought at Yankee Stadium about 6-7 years ago. And underneath the four guys standing there, it's got each one of their balls and signed by each one.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a really nice piece.
Yeah, that does. Now, was that like from Steiner Sports?
That's exactly where it's from, yes.
Yeah, I imagine that set you back quite a bit. Was that a couple grand from them, maybe?
It was. Yeah. It was, yes. Yeah.
Now,
yes, just curious.
Bill, you think that's still something that could do that much in an auction? I know they're still pretty popular.
Yeah, Bill. I don't know that, you know, when you buy stuff from Steiner, they're, the best part about it is it's 100% good, but they are not known for their low price points, for lack of a better way to say it.
Yeah, they're up there.
Okay.
It may be something to where, you know, buying it from them and trying to resell it shortly after you get it or within a few years, I kind of have not had guys have much success getting what they paid for it at that point. Now, as time goes on, I think this thing will do nothing but grow and grow and grow in value, and I'm sure at some point it'll pass what you paid for it. When that'll happen, I don't know.
Could that be when Pettit makes the Hall of Fame? Or
I wonder if he will. You know, he had the steroid thing, but he did apologize for it. It'll be interesting to see if one of those guys ever does make the Hall of Fame. But because he did admit to steroid use, I wonder if he even can make the Hall of Fame. I don't know. But meanwhile, Bill, you'd be happy to auction that at any time, right?
We would certainly. Yeah, if Bill is interested in parting with it, he could certainly contact me, and I would be happy to revisit including that in one of our auctions.
Yeah.
Cool. So,
okay, very nice. It is a nice piece, without a doubt. I got tweeted a message. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Mike sent some messages. His dad had thousands of sports cards. He has passed, and Mike inherited all of them. And he's wondering if there's any value to them. Mike, it depends on the years on those. Like, let's say your dad had a collection from the 50s and 60s and a bunch of Hall of Famers. You could have some big time value. If it's all 80s and 90s baseball cards, probably not as much value to them, or very little on a lot of those. So really, if you look at some of the years and maybe post a couple of pictures, if you have Mickey Mantles from the 50s and things like that, I mean, it could be big time, Mike. So it just all depends. And you can contact either me at Triple Crown in Naperville or Bill Huggins at Huggins and Scott if it looks like you have 50s, 60s, and they'd be happy to probably auction those for you, right, Bill, depending on how nice those older cards are.
Oh, absolutely, yes. That's our bread and butter.
You guys do a really good job. And they don't have to be perfect. You can still, as long as you have roughly $1,000 more of value and you have some of the big names, it's not like they only will take items if they're mint. You can have lower grade Mickey Mantles and Clemente rookies and stuff like that. And Huggins and Scott will still auction them for you. If they think it's going to help the value, they'll get them graded. If they don't think it'll pay to get them graded, then they won't. And you guys do a real good job with that. I've had guys send things in and been real happy with how those vintage card lots actually do, Bill. All right.
Oh, yes. We've got buyers from 1 to 10.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, the whole thing is that some collectors don't care if they're mint, and other collectors, they got to have the best. They want to be on the registry. But some guys, they just want to have the cards. They remember the cards. They like having them. And if it looks good to them, they're happy to get lower than the mint or gem mint prices, because some of those prices are so high. Mike from Lake Zurich is on the line. What's new, Mike? What do you have?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I got I got the black pinstripe Jordan jersey from the 95-96 season. It's an authentic jersey, size 46, and it's got the patch on it next to the champion patch that says designed and tailored 95-96 exclusively for Chicago Bulls. It's got the Bulls logo. Jordan signed it in silver Sharpie on the front under the 23. It's a nice signature, clean, big.
Is that Upper Deck authenticated? Is that where it came from?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah, then you know it's good. What did you say that one was numbered also?
Yeah, well, it's from that 95-96 season, so it's got that Bulls patch on it.
Mm-hmm.
Body length is +3. Next to that champion patch when champion was making NBA jerseys.
Yeah.
It's an authentic jersey. Like I said, it's got black pinstripe.
Did you get that back? You've had that for a while and it was probably a couple grand at the time when you bought it.
Well, I got it as a gift when I was in junior high school. So Mike. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
What did you do? You must have, like, did you finish first in your class or something? Or
No, I got it from a family friend I think it was an 8th grade graduation gift or something.
Boy.
And I thought, it's in a glass case. I just had it ever since.
I think that's still probably, that's definitely up there. Jordan Bulls autographs have really, even recently, have gotten hot. In addition to, if you have an autographed card that came out of a pack and he was wearing a Bulls uniform, because now Upper Deck can only have autographs of him in packs where he's in a North Carolina uniform. So The Bulls autograph stuff is really hot. Everything 80s Fleer cards of Jordan that are graded like 9s or higher, not only the rookie cards, the 87-88 Fleer, the 88-89 Fleer, the 89-90 Fleer, the Jordan stuff, the Bull stuff is really hot right now. I don't know, Bill, if you've noticed that in your auctions also. I mean, it seems to be almost a more of a recent thing that there's a real burst going on some of this stuff. Have you noticed it in yours also?
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the fact that he's going to make another comeback and start playing.
We would gladly take him back on the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
Gladly.
Yeah, yes.
Open arms.
Breaking news from Bill Huggins.
Right.
It's like one time he posted something about, or somebody said something about Jordan could still dunk and he was like 50-something. It's like, yeah, once you get over 50, it's not so much the jumping up, it's the landing that gets you. So anyway, if you do decide, Mike, that you want to auction that with Huggins and Scott Auctions, they'd be happy to give it a shot for you. His stuff is definitely still hot. So
okay, because I got quite a collection of Jordan Bulls signed stuff. Maybe I can come stop, take some pictures, and come out to your place in Naperville and share some stuff with you.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And then if you want to send any in, you can. If you want to put something on consignment at T-Crown, that would be great. Any Upper Deck authenticated Jordan stuff, I'll hang that on the wall in T-Crown anytime. That's great stuff.
Oh. Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate the information, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
And we've got Bob from Elgin on the line. What's new, Bob? What do you have?
Hey, Tom. I've got the Super Bowl 20 program autographed by the entire starting offense and defense and Buddy Ryan, Ditka, about six of the other players, Steve Fuller and Dennis Gentry couldn't leave out Pinky.
Yeah.
And,
Walter is signed on it?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was
there you
one
go.
Of the first ones to sign it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I would think that if those are all authentic, that would probably be in the $1,000 range. And that's still, you got to have Bear or Walter on the Bears Super Bowl item signed. And if you do, most of it's at least that in the Chicago area. So, that's an item that I can't believe that's Super Bowl 20. That's 30 years now. Isn't that incredible?
Scary.
You know, the
it's
good
scary.
From a Bears standpoint, it does look like they're going the right direction with their defense. I like their defensive coordinator, and they made some nice pickups on D. So if you can get that D to be dominant, you know, the
it's
offense.
It's going to keep you competitive. If your defense can keep you in games, you got a shot.
Right. And then, you know, if you still have Cutler, just hopefully he doesn't turn it over a lot and they just, you know, play okay.
No comment on that position.
Yeah. It's going to be nice to have Kevin White healthy, though. Yes. It looks like he's
him
healthy
and Alshon
right now.
Would be a nice combo.
So anyway, not that they're going to make the Super Bowl, but why not? It's preseason. Yeah, I think they're going to do it this year. So anyway, that's always going to be valuable, always popular in the Chicago area, and I'm sure Bill Huggins would be willing to auction that at some time also. Anytime you have a Super Bowl winning team signed item, it's good. And
was that a little Edward G. Robinson just there?
You know, it was either Lou Piniella or Edward G. I'm not sure.
That was pretty good.
You ever hear that story about when we were at the restaurant in Chicago and my oldest son, Jim, was the only guy I knew that did a Lou Piniella impression.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and we were talking about it in the restaurant. And I told him it kind of sounds like Edward G., but it's not a bad, nobody really does a Lou Piniella. So the waiter's standing there, and he's like, yeah, boy, kind of chuckling. And a few minutes later, the waiter comes back, and he does, yeah, say so. You know, he's doing it. And it's like, is that Edward G. or Lou Piniella? I don't know.
That's funny.
So anyway,
that's funny.
We got to hear from the Lantern sometime with his Rodney.
Good impression. He's the best. He was better than Rodney was. That
he was. I think he
was.
He out-Rodney's Rodney, without a doubt. It's time for another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're on till 9 a.m. taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And we've got a nice prize package to give away this week, a 2016 Panini Classics football box and a Topps Series 2 baseball box. So hang in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and also with us this week, Americana Steve from Huggins and Scott Auctions, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. I guess I got a couple calls at T-Crown on Friday. I guess Carmen and Yurko on Friday were talking about the potential value of the Steph Curry mouth guard that he whipped after he fouled out and he got ejected from the game. And I really think that if you could prove that is the exact mouth guard, that particular one that he whipped, if that went in a Huggins and Scott auction in August, I think that would have the potential to break 10 grand. Wow. Because especially if they win. Now, what do you think about that, Bill? Because of the whole story with it and everything, don't you think that's one of those things that basketball collectors could kind of, you could see a couple guys really wanting that?
Oh, I think if they could certainly have the chain of the custody, you know, follow suit to where that this is the one that you're getting. Oh, I don't know what the ceiling number on that.
I know.
It's a moment in time that will always be. You know, they have video documentation of it. I don't know if they have a picture of the guy who caught it or whatever. So
I'm pretty sure they do. I think Steph went over and shook his hand, actually,
really?
And was kind of had like a sheepish grin on his face. Did you
see that? He apologized to him, and actually the kid he hit is a son of a partial owner of the Cavs.
Oh.
So he doesn't need the money, but...
Okay, yeah. Hmm. He might still want to, you know, chump change, I guess, for another guy. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I got it, you know. But, yeah, that would actually be a great collectible to keep, I mean, long term. Especially, of course, I guess for the son of the Cavs, he's not really hoping that Steph's going to – it would be probably worth it more to the son of the Cavs if the Cavs win and just as, like, this is the thing that happened that really – tipped
almost
it
like
over
a bragging
in our favor
piece,
almost.
Over time, you could brag about this was Curry's mouthpiece.
Yes, and I have it.
Yeah, yeah. And we won.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah you're right. I think that might be the case. Yep. And actually, you know, I've never been a big LeBron fan from the standpoint of his on-court demeanor and the clutch factor, like the grab him by the throat and kill him factor. But these last two games, especially that last game, I think Golden State really angered him at the end of four. With that the whole fight and all the flack he was getting.
Yep.
He's played angry these last two games.
He stepped it up a couple levels in these last two
games.
Yes.
I thought he couldn't play any better than game five, and he actually got better in game six. When he's playing angry like that, he's on the Mount Rushmore of basketball right next to Jordan. And I'm not a, like I say, I haven't been a big, I'm not a LeBron guy, but I got to give him credit. Yep. That last game, especially incredible, you know, going 41-40. Oh boy.
It's going to be fun to watch the game tonight.
It should be really good.
Just to watch
it should be really good. Now we have a caller, Rich from West Dundee, has a question for Americana Steve. So what do you have that Americana Steve might be interested in?
Yeah, hello. Good morning. Happy Father's Day.
Same to you, Rich. What's up?
I have a 1956 Captain Gallant Mark's playset. And it's autographed on the box by Buster Crabb, who played Captain Gallant on the old TV show.
Now, how'd you get that, Rich?
I bought it a long time ago at a garage sale, and a few pieces were missing. I was able to, you know, buy them off the computer, and they're very expensive. The box alone is $75.
Hmm. Americana Steve, is that something that you have handled before?
The only thing we've had from Captain Gallant before was unopened original boxes of the comic books, with 200 little boxes.
Oh.
We had in our last auction, but those toys are around and they're popular. And I would say that item is, the fact that it's signed is going to give it some extra value. Buster Crabb was a popular guy with Jungle Jim and Flash Gordon serials. Before that, this was really like his last shot, this Captain Gallant. And his son was actually in the show with him.
Cubby, his name was.
Yeah.
So, Rich, who?
That set was a real nice box. That play set could go as high as 500 and then maybe more with the autograph.
Oh.
So, Rich, who wins a fight between Captain Gallant and Tarzan?
Oh, Tarzan. He's too physical.
Okay. I just thought you had the Captain Gallant. Maybe you're going with Buster Crabb over Johnny Weissmuller. I don't know. How about that story that we heard from John Drummond about having the tickets to the Marciano fight?
Remember,
he was talking and they were up in the nosebleed section and somehow they were, I think it was when he was in the Army, so it was a group of guys, Army guys, and somehow they got down right by the ring, and they're sitting right behind Johnny Weissmuller, and I guess he wasn't real happy about it because he had paid a fortune at the time for those seats. But so, Rich, that's neat. Do you think you're going to, that would be something you might send to Huggins and Scott? It sounds like they'd be interested.
Yeah, plus, like you said, you have it so long, it becomes part of you. Kind of hard to separate.
Yeah. Well, okay, give it a thought, Rich, and thanks for the call.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay. We have some other things that are already in. If you go to HugginsandScott.com, you can check things out that are already there, and they have up for auction. There's a Frank Thomas signed game-used rookie-era bat, along with an Easton game-used and signed batting glove from Frank Thomas with a $250 minimum bid. Does a rookie-era bat of a player that came up right in the 90s, does that have extra value over one later in his career, Bill?
Oh, yes. A lot of people are interested in the early-era bat from these guys, especially the fact that they change these things all the time. So most of these guys don't use the same bat for year after year after year. They'll change different styles, different weights, different lengths. And if you can earmark it to their early in their career, then you'll usually get the most money for it.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting to see. He still has a big following with White Sox fans, that's for sure. Now, I had another item. I think this was a listener who called in, and I think he's thinking of sending this to a Huggins and Scott auction if Bill wants to take it. Jerry from St. Charles has a 1961 New York Yankee team-signed baseball that I guess he got from Tony Kubek. I think Tony Kubek used to shop at his place or something. Where did he say? In Wisconsin he had a place at the time. He got it in, like, 1963. And he said it's already authenticated. So I asked Jerry if it was this, are they all real or were there any clubhouse signatures? And he did say they're all real except Mickey Mantle was a clubhouse signature. It's like, ooh, that hurts. Now, Bill, what's the difference in value if the Mantle is clubhouse or isn't? And would you want to auction it for Jerry if now that it, you know that it is a clubhouse on that ball?
Well, we've had two balls recently. I think one in our last May auction and one maybe even February or November. Without Mantle, you know, with everybody else good in Mantle clubhouse, they sell for about $500.
Okay.
If you have the Mantle, it can sell for a couple $1,000s. That big of a difference.
Yeah. Boy, that's something. Even if you have one that came from another player, that's why it's so important why you have to use JSA or PSA DNA on those team signed balls, because you never know for sure which ones are clubhouse or if they all signed until, and those guys have examples of the real ones in the clubhouse to do. So that's one of those things you have to get done. Now, because it is already done, you would be willing to take that in an auction then, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I think I responded to your email and everything like that. We probably started around $250, and I would anticipate $500 or maybe a little bit more, depending on what it looks like and how it's signed, if their consignor is okay in that range.
Yeah, the cool part about that, I mean, it still does have Roger Maris. I mean, that's the year that he broke Babe Ruth's record, and then you got Yogi Berra and Whitey Ford. So, I mean, there are some really good signatures on that also. I've got a quiz for you, Vince, and you other guys can get in on that. This was amazing to me. This is why I said I got to write this down for the show. What retired player did Ricky Weeks just tie for the most career extra base hits by one batter off Clayton Kershaw with 6? So Ricky Weeks got his 6th extra base hit off of Kershaw, and he tied a recently, pretty recently retired player
who also had 6.
Who also had 6, and that's the most any one player has ever had against Kershaw.
Interesting. This,
I'll give you a hint if you want. Okay, here's a hint. This is probably the last guy that I would have thought. It's a left-handed hitter, and probably the last guy I would have figured that would have had that many.
Really?
Yeah.
But he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
Oh, he's not a Hall of Famer.
No. He had a couple. I mean, he was a really good power hitter. You want another hint? If Bill, if you have a guess, go ahead. But I'm going to keep. Here's one.
I don't have a clue.
Well, he played for both the Nationals and for the White Sox.
Adam LaRoche.
Close with the first name.
Oh, Adam.
Adam John?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, Adam Dunn had that 1 year with the White Sox where I think he didn't get a hit off a left-hander for his first, like, 72 at-bats. And
with that big old hole in his swing.
I know that he had 6 extra base hits off of Kershaw.
That's amazing.
That literally would have been the last guy I would have picked that would have been that guy. So how about that for a
That's
quiz?
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. That's a good quiz.
I thought that was pretty good because I was astounded by the fact. I really was.
Very surprising.
There was another Adam. Adam Duvall is actually doing really well for the Cincinnati Reds. I think he hit his 19th homer this week. Now, so I thought I'm going to do a little research on him and think if he's going to go for much money or if he's worth collecting. And here's a big negative about him. He's 27 years old for a guy just getting started. That's too old to get big time career stats, which means his stuff can get hot this year, but it will never be really big like for the guys that come up when they're 19 or 20 years old. Just because even if he turns into a huge power hitter and he does it every year for the rest of his career, he still missed out 6-7 years over, like somebody like A-Rod came up when he was 19 hitting homers right away. Another thing about him, I think he's got 65 strikeouts and 231 plate appearances. So I don't know. But
that's over 30%.
Yeah, so the home runs is big. But I don't know that there's going to be a lot of value. He had 2012, I think, Bowman Chrome's, not even autographs, but they weren't going that much. And that's when I thought, okay, let me look more into them. I was surprised he was that old.
Even if he hit 10 years in a row with 40-plus homers, he'll still be shy of 500,
yes,
which is the benchmark.
Right. And that's right. Yeah. So, and then he's 37. So, yeah. So Edward G. Edward G. wouldn't be buying his stuff if he was around right now.
No, he wouldn't.
Now, Americana Steve, do you have a recommendation? Mike from Naperville stopped by T-Crown yesterday, and he said he has a ton of comic books from the early 70s that he had bought, I think, from a garage sale, like hundreds of them. From the late 60s, early 70s, Americana Steve, is there anybody in particular, if you have comic books from that time frame, that someone should be looking for that could have extra value from that time frame?
Sure. Spider-Man, Batman, Superman. During that time, the Conan series was introduced. And into the early 70s, a lot of those books are starting to pick up steam now. They had been, pretty much ignored because people were going after the Gold and Silver Age. But what they call the Bronze Age started in 1969 and runs to 1983. And those books are really heating up. And we have pulled in some major surprising numbers for sales of books from that time period. But absolutely, the main characters are Spider-Man and the X-Men from Marvel, and Batman and Superman from DC. Those are pretty popular from any era, but that era they were, really the dominant issues.
So if Mike had some of those and he wanted to put a lot together, is there a certain amount of them that he would need to send to you, or would you get some graded if they were really nice, or how would you work that?
Well, sure, absolutely. Anything from that time period that's in top condition, grading it would really help the value. But as far as how many, it could be one book if it's a key issue, Amazing Spider-Man number 129 with the first appearance of the Punisher. That book in decent grade is $1,000 and up. It's really exploded in value. Amazing Spider-Man number 121 with the death of his girlfriend, Gwen Stacy, and 122 with the death of the Green Goblin character, villain, are also, $300-$400 in better condition. So the answer to that question is we need to know if he has any key issues, and that takes research.
All right, very good. Well, Mike, just get that list together, and I think you might have a lot. They could still get that in for the August auction then also, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Yeah. If you want to email me a list of what books and the titles and the issue numbers, I'll be glad to tell them what we could do with them.
All right. Very good. It's time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Mike from Lake Zurich. So, Mike, send me an email, vince@arcdelivery.com, before Thursday, and I'll deliver this week's prizes to you free of charge.
That's what we've added onto the show now. Whoever wins has to contact Vince by Thursday, because we've had guys that were like a couple weeks later. It's like, yeah, where's my prize? It's like, well,
gave it away to somebody else.
Yeah,
<know?
right.
laughs> No, guys, I did not open it myself. I didn't.
Right.
And don't forget to go to HugginsandScott.com and check out for the previews for their August auction. Lots of items up there and new ones getting put on every day. And Jeff Meller and Ben Finfer follow us, and they'll be happy that I've already logged off the computer and I'm going to get out of here fast today. So hang in there and listen to those guys, and have a great week. Happy Father's Day, everybody.